Can you dream of a world immune to cancer? Hello, everyone. My name is Nick, and I'm the host of the annual live stream for The Cure, where content creators and podcasters from around the world join me to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute and immunotherapy research, which is training the body's immune system to fight against all forms of cancer. Over the past 7 years, thanks to the power of indie podcasters and the indie podcasting community and listeners just like you listening to this right now, we have raised over $90,000. And as I record this now, the 8th annual live stream for The Cure is barreling down upon us really, really quickly in just about 2 weeks. So join us, please, from May 29th through June 1st for 48 hours of amazing content from people all over the world and help us fight for a world immune to cancer. And I'll return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Thank you so, so much. And together, we can make a difference.
Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil!
That's the devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality! I won't allow it!
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dissect That Film podcast, the podcast that dissects the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. I am your host, Brett Parker. Joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Dan, and Angela of DNA Gaming.
Hello.
And back once again are two of the three wonderful hosts of the Give Me Back My Action /
the
Horror Movies podcast.
Ones, I'll let you know.
We have Charlie and Pete. Welcome back, gentlemen.
We're back.
We are back. This is great. I'm so excited. I got so much to say about this movie, so I'm just going to hold it.
Pete's hyper tonight, man.
I am.
Well,
how many beers have you had, Pete?
I'm not even going to say.
Okay.
Let's just say enough.
Let's keep bleat behind curtains right now.
Oh,
okay?
Now look.
Yeah.
So the last time you guys were here, we talked about a chainsaw-wielding psychopath. And today we get to talk about four turtles wielding weapons again. Since the last time we talked about the weapons. Turtles, they weren't able to wield their weapons. As today, no. As today, we are talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
16th century Japan. Brave men ride into battle, fighting an evil emperor. With their only hope, a golden scepter that can open the gates of time itself. Now, in their darkest hour, come four brave fighters from another time, another place, another species.
You were expecting maybe the Addams Family?
They're back, and they're back in time.
Once before, demons defeated my ancestors. Now they have come back for me.
Talk about your quantum leap!
My cannons can destroy these monsters, my lord.
Uh-oh, this doesn't bode well.
I love this stuff!
How are we gonna get home?
Silver! Somebody dial 911.
I have a feeling we're gonna be here for a very long time.
Worst rescue I've ever had.
I think I swallowed a frog. I hope it wasn't an ancestor.
New Line Cinema presents
a Legorama.
The four greatest turtles.
Hey, all right. Yeah?
It's not just a job, it's an adventure.
Ever to go down in history.
It's just your ordinary time travel equal mass displacement kind of thing.
Kids. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Some people might say Turtles in Time. Some people just might leave that out.
It's good.
Or the nice Turtles are back in time.
Dramatic pause for effect. That was well done.
Just put Hyperstone Heist in there.
for the Genesis game.
Any of those work. Tournament Fighter, whatever. It totally works.
So what is our history with this movie? And I guess we should start with our guests. Who would like to start down there?
I say you start with Pete.
Give it to us.
All right. This came out in 1993, and famously, I was in college at this time chasing tail and not watching movies. So let's get that out of the way.
Pussy, not turtles.
Right.
Just to clarify, everybody.
I wasn't very successful at either, so it doesn't matter. But I grew up with Turtles, like Turtles, what? Turtles hit in like 84-ish.
That's was when, like 86 when
was it eight? Well, that's when the cartoon
when everyone hit.
So like I think it was 82, 84, somewhere around there. So I was familiar. I was big into comic books. I was very familiar with the Turtles. And then it came to the toys started coming out. Cartoon came out. I became enamored with all the crazy. It was like Star Wars all over again, because G.I. Joe was cool, but it wasn't Turtles cool. Turtles was He-Man cool, not G.I. Joe cool. And then that first film came out and it blew my socks off, because the animatronics in the suits was just astounding. And then the second one came out and it upped the ante. Third one came out. Like I said, I was in college. I wasn't really paying attention to it, so I never went to go see it in the theaters. I think someone said you got to go see this like 3 years ago or something. So I got it from the library, watched it. I was underwhelmed and kind of fell into the, I don't like this. It's dumb. It's not worth your time. Then I watched it last night and I'm like, what was wrong with me the first time I watched this? This movie is dumb and highly entertaining. So that's my history. I had a whole bunch of these toys when I was a kid. Of course, I don't have them anymore. I don't know. That's all I got. Charlie, you're next, please.
I think Pete just hit, take this away from me right now.
Shut me up, please. I've talked enough.
So, yeah, '93, I was 13. I'm prime Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, age. That is.
Yep. Like, I lived, breathed everything Ninja Turtles, the cartoon, the movies. By the time the third one come out, I was just as excited. I was like, I've got two already. I got a third one getting ready to come out. And I didn't get to go see it in theaters, but I did get it when it came out on VHS. I think my parents just flat out just went ahead and bought it for me. Sure. Like, this wasn't like, go rent it. They go, it's Ninja Turtles. Buy him the damn movie, you know, because he's gonna watch it. And I watched the shit out of this movie. Like, I watched this one as much as I watched the other two. I would do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 going through it. I never understood the hate for this movie. Like, seriously, people would come out and go, that's the worst Ninja Turtle movie since, you know, till the TV show that came out, that was utter garbage, that was live action. But this one, I love it. I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, man. It all made sense to me. Like, of course we're going to go to feudal Japan. I want to see samurai Ninja Turtles. Matter of fact, I think there were action figures that were the samurai versions of them.
And there's a very early comic book run where they went back in time.
This is loosely taking from was the comic.
Oh, okay. Because there was a dinosaur in the original comic run or something.
Renee, something like that was one of the characters that had the scepter.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so it's not like they pulled this out of their butt. They had some context for it.
Loosely based on previous.
And it's one of my favorite things is because I'm sure, you know, we weren't on, you know, last week's episode, but, you know, Ninja Turtles 2, they neutered them. You couldn't use weapons. You had to use surrounding stuff. This one is like, we're bringing the weapons back. Like, I swear to God, they pull out the weapons constantly. Leonardo almost grabs his swords out of his sheath for something that was totally not worthy of him pulling his sword out. But he was like ready. Cause I'm like, they were just like, any chance you get, pull the weapons out and use them. And I love that about this movie. But that's my history with it. We'll get to everybody else now.
Who wants to start over there?
Do you have history with this movie, yes or no?
Other than the last time we watched it, no.
All right, cool, I do. Do you want me to go first?
Go for it.
Rock, paper, scissors?
I'm just going to be the disappointment.
Okay.
So
okay, cool. All right. Well, so I was younger. I was born in 86. So like I caught Turtles like at the tail end when I was younger. My cousin was a little bit older than me. He was more into it. But I watched with him. We watched cartoons, blah, blah, blah. I had the toys. Had the ones with the toys and the shell where it holds everything.
Oh, yeah. The transforming ones? Yeah.
Yes. And I was getting mixed up. Which one is the mechanical turtle?
That's no, he's talking about
a robot turtle. Yep.
It was a mecha turtle.
Mecha turtle. Because there's, I remember Chrome Dome was a character, but there was another one.
Chrome Dome was the all chrome, almost looking samurai that was based off of Shredder. Mecha Turtle was the turtle that Donnie built to help them around.
So I like that one. I just like that was one of the characters I like. But anyway, and Leatherhead. But anyway, this came out, and I remember I didn't watch a whole lot of the first one, but I watched a lot of the second one with my cousins. And my mom and dad just bought this one for me, and I don't remember, like, I wasn't, like, super big into Turtles, but I enjoyed Turtles. And they bought this, like, here, we watched the Ninja Turtles movie. It's like, all right, we'll watch the Ninja Turtle movie. So put it in, watched it, and I never watched it again. It was, like, one and done for me. Because my expectation is from watching, like, Turtles 2, when you have, like, Toka and Rezar, and, like, the show where you have all, like, the zany bad guys, and you don't get any of that. Because most of mine is like, because where I come from, liking like monsters and stuff, that's what I want. Not just the turtles, but I want the monsters and mutants that they fight. And that wasn't absent entirely in this movie and was not what I wanted out of the film. So it was kind of like, I watched it once and I don't know. So far, I know my mom could still have my original VHS. She could throw it away. I have no fucking clue, but I remember distinctly having it just that one time.
Don't throw away VHS. Send it to me.
Yeah, but you don't think about it at the time. It's like,
No.
I said, if you have it and you don't want it, send it to me.
No, I wouldn't. I'd keep it if I had it, but I don't think it's.
I don't have any of the Ninja Turtles on VHS, but someday I will. So I have that.
You need to try harder.
I'm
try harder.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
Oh,
there's just not a lot of places around me that have VHS. So.
We have Goodwill, and that's it.
Yeah. For those of you that do chase turtles and tail. It's legal to bring cats home in Tennessee, but it's illegal to bring turtles home in Tennessee. Just so you know.
That makes sense.
Good to know.
Snapping turtles are protected and shit like that here.
Yeah. All for us, it's any kind of turtle. Box turtles.
I'm in for Virginia. It's the exact, same.
Turtles aren't pets. Don't keep pets.
Because I've moved plenty off the road around here regular snappers, alligator snappers. Box turtles, whatever they are, the traditional turtle, whatever you find. Yeah. I guess what I think of when I think of a turtle.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's there you go, dear. That was my little PSA for the day, I suppose.
Save turtles. I have an incredibly sad turtle story, but I don't think this is the show for it.
Please don't.
No sad turtle.
I'm both curious but don't want to hear it at the same time.
Maybe off air. I don't know if your audience wants to hear this story.
I mean, when did we watch this? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
I mean, that's my only.
That's your first time?
History with this. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't grow up watching Ninja Turtles, I guess that's understandable.
There's no reason to ever watch it.
Yeah.
It
looks like silly. It's the third one. It's always the one that was talked about being the worst one. So I guess I'll just jump off of that and just be like, why is this considered the worst one? This is a. I watched this as a kid. I know I watched this as a kid and I remember kind of being underwhelmed by it, but I guess as an adult, I just appreciate it more because rewatching it last night, I'm like, why do people hate this movie? It's just more Ninja Turtles fun, man. They're kicking ass
It's more Ninja rap.
No. Dan was saying though, Dan, I think hit the nail on the head where like the very first movie was the origin story. And so they're, figuring all this stuff out. Movie number two is like Swamp Thing 2 or Toxic Avenger 2 or Guyver 2, where you get all these monsters.
Yeah,
Guyver! like you just get all these monsters in it and these crazy things. And then the third one has no monsters outside of some really dodgy turtle suits. So that's probably why it gets some hate.
Yeah, they are dodgy, but they're not as bad as I remember them being. Like, I remember seeing like stills of them on. You know, you see them on Twitter when people like trash talk this movie and be like, look how bad these suits are. And I'm like, okay. I like the spots they have. Like, I guess.
Their spots look like the spots look like acne to me. Like,
HD didn't do this any favors.
No.
Like the Blu-ray.
I loved everything else being in HD because I was like, I have like one of the old DVDs that's like a straight rip from the VHS. But I was like, I'm going to watch it in HD today. I was like, it's nice looking backdrops. Mm-hmm. Oh, really bright, colorful. Mm-hmm. Then the suits are coming. I could see the line from the head part to the neck. I could see the suit not. It would bend, not as if you were real. It was just big, giant rubber suit.
Don't worry about that.
But I didn't care because I didn't have an issue with... First off, part two pissed me off because I didn't get Bebop and Rocksteady. So as much as I like Toka and Rezar...
Beyond belief.
Exactly. I didn't mind that this one went more story-driven because they gave me... enough action. This felt like watching one of the Saturday afternoon kung fu movies samurai movies where it's just dudes sword fighting and falling and yelling, and you know, then you add like almost like a pirate kind of feel with, you know, the mercenaries. It worked for me so much, and it still works for me. Like the Walker, he plays one of my favorite villains from action movies. He played Merrick in No Escape with Ray Liotta. And that dude is so charismatic and just smiling and laughing the entire time in that movie. When I see him in this one, it still exudes that for me. Like, I love this actor that plays the main antagonist, except for, you know, Norinaga, you know, which he's more comedy relief than emperor or whatever he is, king.
Daimyo.
That's it. Daimyo.
Yeah, I remember Stuart Wilson, who plays Walker. I remember him from The Mask of Zorro, the first one.
Yeah.
He plays
the bad guy in that.
That's where he's from. Yeah. Yes.
I couldn't put my finger on him while I was watching the movie, so I had to look him up, and I was like, that's right.
He's in Hot Fuzz. He's the doctor in town that pulls out the shotgun at the end. That's also him.
You barely recognize him, though. That movie's way in the future from this.
Yeah, he's a lot older in that, but yeah, it's this guy's a great actor, and I just he just kind of pulls it in. And I absolutely love, even though I don't get a ton of Casey, I still get Casey in this movie.
Yeah.
Because you get Elias Kotas playing, you know, the other version of it.
They held his character back. I mean, as far as the modern version of him, like you're too violent to be on TV.
That's why he wasn't in part two. His character's too violent based on what he does, his vigilante type things. And this one, he's still fairly neutered, but you know what? I love everything with the samurai. You know, those are some of my favorite scenes is when he's teaching them hockey. They watch television. He takes them to a bar. Like, I still die laughing. I have repeated lines from this movie since I was a kid. I always say Eva Kriva because that's whenever he goes, remember on TV? Like, oh, hockey, son, Eva Kriva. I always do that. And then
they're
I do Wet Willie.
Shit out of each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Wet Willie. Willie. And he just does it to himself. When you're 13, that's comedy gold, sir. That's comedy gold.
That's what we call a payoff for a joke.
Like getting twice, he's like, I got this. Don't worry about me. I'm out.
Comedy happens in threes, right, everybody? This happened in a three. This is good writing.
Listen, man, I'm going to use my own fingers, not your big green ballparks just jammed in my fucking ear.
And they're wet the first time they do it.
God, I hope that's saliva.
I just want that. I just want that T-Rex tongue from The Lost World coming out of that dude's mouth with his finger.
There were a lot more innuendos in this movie than I remembered, though, watching it today.
One-liners are just nonstop. Like, you're like, they just keep going. Every single situation is a one-liner.
They drop Schwing, you know, which every kid was doing because of Wayne's World.
We got April's legs, and they both went Schwing. I'm like, that's great. This, not that there's anything wrong with this movie, but it doesn't age well for the pop culture references through the entire thing. It's growing up in that era, I got all the jokes, but it'll be lost on this day, Dan, heck, it might have lost you on some of those things.
Some of it, yeah. Most of it, I got.
Well, the help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up. You know, people don't understand where that line comes from. You know?
Turtle.
Yes.
It's not, still use that.
I mean, that commercial was on every 5 minutes.
It was. It's ingrained.
Why wasn't there Where's a Beef reference? I don't know.
That's true.
Turtles, it's not just a job. It's an adventure.
That's one of my favorites in that one, too.
They even brought back lines from prior movies like, oh, I love being a turtle.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
That kind of like became their Avengers Assemble, though. You know, it was always the man, I love being a turtle. And that's just, you expect it in the movie somewhere.
Yep. All right. Well, let's, there's not really a whole bunch of behind the scenes with this movie. So we're going to talk about the people in the movie, the person behind the directing the movie, and how much this movie made. Because surprisingly, it didn't flop. It made its money times two, almost times three. So this was directed by Stuart Gillard, who also wrote the movie. He pretty much was well known for TV shows. He literally, I think, directed this and maybe one other movie, and mostly in his career has been TV work. And that's kind of been the trend with the directors for these Ninja Turtles movies. They direct a Ninja Turtles movie, and it's like, okay, well, we're going back to TV, and that's where we're going to stay. And that's pretty much what this guy did.
Yeah.
We have some returning cast members from the prior movie and some coming back from the very first movie because some of them couldn't be in the second one. As we just mentioned, Elias Koteas, he was Casey Jones in number one, but because number two was such a more kid-friendly movie with less violence, it was mentioned Casey Jones was just too violent, so they didn't bring him back. But they brought him back for this movie just to be a babysitter, and he does a whole lot of nothing. But he does play another character who does do more, so it was good that, you know, just because Casey Jones wasn't doing a lot, at least they got him to play another character who could kind of contribute to the story, because we all love Casey Jones, but he doesn't do anything in this movie.
Throw the actor a bone, sort of.
Yeah. I had to look up if he was actually British, and then I realized as I'm watching the movie, I was like, that's an awful British accent.
It's bad.
It's Kevin Costner level bad British accent.
We have Paige Turco back as April O'Neil. As you know, she was the April O'Neil in the second movie. And it's not a lot I know about her other than what we talked about last week. But I kind of missed the first one. I like the April O'Neil from the first movie, and it kind of still makes me sad every time I see somebody new. I'm like, just not the same.
She was not cool with the violence in this movie, so that's why she's not back. Yeah.
I like this April because I feel like she's a little bit more playful, cartoonish about it. I like the first one. She is my movie April, but she's very kind of plays it more straight of an April, and this one has a lot more fun like she did in the second one and the third one.
Yeah, she, again, like, I feel like most of the people that are involved in these movies go just do TV for the rest of their career. She did a lot.
Is that what she did? TV.
She was in like NCIS, NYPD Blue, stuff like that.
Really?
It's easy money.
It really is.
Sucks when a lot of people talk to you about it. It's like, unless you're making like the big bucks A-list stuff, go TV. It's a steady paycheck almost. Yeah. You just, boom, there you go. There's so many people that are just, you go on their IMDb and it's one episode of this show. Like, and they've made a good living at it, you know? Yeah.
Especially those like long running shows like Law and Order and NCIS and, shows
CSI,
ones that are just like, hey, they've been around and they're not going anywhere. So if you need a guest spot.
Yeah, here. You might get a recurring character and you hit the jackpot, you know, whenever you're doing those kind of things.
Yeah. We got Stuart Wilson, who plays Walker, as it was mentioned by Charlie. He was in No Escape, which I had never heard of. I knew him from Mask of Zorro. He was in Lethal Weapon 3.
Yep. Jack Tivers.
He was in Enemy of the State, which I just randomly found that DVD one day. It's back there somewhere. I hadn't seen that since I was a kid. Yeah.
That's quite a collection. If you go, oh, I do have this movie.
I just was like looking through. I was looking through movies, and I was like, "Did I get this movie? I don't even remember."
That happens to the best of us. I know. I'm not saying I have DVDs I've never put in yet and watched. It's totally fine. I have watched every movie in my collection.
I don't have a stack of those.
I still have movies that are sealed back there.
That's right. Well, you don't open it until you watch it, right?
Yeah.
Or if you've already sealed it
early.
If I've already seen it, then I will open it.
I don't have six copies of Total Recall. It's totally fine. No.
I don't have six copies of Jaws in every format.
Fine. Yeah.
We have John Allward as Niles. He, let's look through his IMDb. Armageddon. Monster-in-Law.
Wow.
Okay. The Crazies from 2000. He always plays a mayor or a doctor.
Is he in the remake of Crazies with Timothy Oliphant?
In 2010.
Yeah. Good movie. Good movie.
A Million Ways to Die in the West, which was that parody movie that Seth MacFarlane did. Yeah.
Yep.
We have Shimono as Lord Norinaga. Yeah, I'm terrible
with
names.
Good luck with that one. That's not me.
And Vivian Wu, who we've talked about on this show, as she was in The Guyver, she played Mitsu in The Guyver, and in this movie plays
the first Guyver.
She plays Mitsu in this movie, and she plays a character whose name is very similar in The Guyver. Yeah, she played the girl whose dad dies in the beginning.
Oh,
who's like with the guy who is the Guyver the whole time?
Yeah.
Not
Mark Hamill. The guy that's actually the Guyver.
Not the guy
who's actually the Guyver. Yeah.
Not the guy on the cover of the poster.
Good
She plays Mitsu in this movie, and she played like Mitski in The Guyver. So their names.
It's close enough.
It's close. It's close.
We have Henry Hayashi as Kenshin, and we have Travis Moon as Yoshi. Those are kind of your main characters there. And then we have the suit characters and voice characters. Yeah. We have Brian Tocci as Leonardo. Corey Feldman is back as Donatello.
Yep.
And still only got paid $1,500 to be in this one as well, because he was in rehab. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was in rehab. So yeah, you get what you get.
That's kind of bullshit.
That is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Yeah.
Tim Kelleher as Raphael, Robbie Rist as Michelangelo, and James Murray is the one who would be Splinter in this one. It was
Kevin Clash.
No Kevin Clash. He was too busy doing Sesame Street and being Elmo.
Fuck yeah.
This was also the first one that the suit work wasn't done by Jim Henson.
Henson, yeah.
Yeah, it was done by All Effects Company. So it's kind of why.
If I can interject here, I thought that the facial animatronics was a bit dodgy at times.
Too much at times.
But let me tell you, that opening montage, which is just filler, clearly, really showed you how flexible and how those actors could move fluently in those suits. It was impressive how flexible those suits were and how little resistance they gave to the actors in their performance in their martial arts.
It's throughout the movie. I agree. There's a lot of the fight scenes at the end where you're like, these are guys in suits.
Yeah.
When they're running across the roof, when they're chasing Walker, they're literally dudes in suits running across a slanted clay roof.
There's very few times you look at it and don't think that that's just how that creature moves.
Yeah.
They gave a high foot at one time. Hey, give me a high foot, and they nailed it. It was
I'd like to know how many takes it took for that.
how many times I fell over or kicked the other guy in the head.
Except for the facial animatronics, those suits were choice. And I also thought it was funny that they're teenagers and it looked like the spots might have been pimples. That was just
you could go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
As someone who suffered from acne, those look like pimples.
He did say his spots hurt. So
yeah. Those they get sore. They need to be evacuated or evacuated. That's not
evacuate
the word. Please, okay, please keep going.
Yeah.
He meanders. It's fine.
As for the in-suit performers for each turtle, we had Mark Casa as Leonardo, Jim Raposa as Donatello. There's also facial assistants and in-suit martial arts stunt doubles for each character as well. Matt Hill as Raphael, David Frazier as Michelangelo, and then James Murray was both the puppeteer and the voice of Splinter.
So they had suit actors and then martial art suit actors?
So question mark? for the more intense
okay.
fight scenes.
All right.
Yeah, and then you had guys that literally were probably just the ones with like controllers on the side moving the faces.
Oh yeah, that was all remote control.
Eyes and stuff.
Those are probably very heavy headpieces.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, we talked about it in the first Turtle movie that one of the in-suit actors was claustrophobic. And so they would only be able to do short takes because he was so scared. And then one of them, the guy who played Raphael in the first one, he broke his nose during the garbage scene when he gets tossed into the garbage upside down.
Oh, I do remember that.
The suit, the mask got pushed in and broke his nose. And so when he comes up and reacts to it, we mentioned this in that episode, but I'll mention it again. When he comes up and reacts to it, it's genuinely, he's in pain.
Like, ow!
They just kept it in, so.
Well, it's like, I'm sure you guys talked about it last week, was Kino is one of the martial arts suit actors in the first one.
Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah. Ernie Reyes Jr., Ernie Reyes, which is how they got him the role of Kino in, you know, the second one. Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, everybody, the wonderful guys here at Give Me Back My Action covered the Ninja Turtles movie, as did we.
We did.
Their episode is fantastic. It's just them gushing upon gushing about how much they love Ninja Turtles.
It's we gushed.
We gushed, but I feel everybody, all three of you guys just had such a heartwarming story about how much you love Ninja Turtles. We had somebody who was very passionate about Ninja Turtles. We all grew up with it, but... You guys just took, you know, you guys take the cake.
And it was our kid-friendly month, too, so that laid a lot into it, you know, just going back to childhood. But, yeah, and we don't dissect stuff, you know, you guys get us into the meat and potatoes of the movies.
Yeah, I like this.
We just sit there and go, I like turtles, just like the kid on YouTube.
Did you see he came back and redid that whole thing as, like, he's 20 years old now or something like that? That's great.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. My kids turtles.
Run around and do that all the time. My daughter will just walk up to you and go, I like turtles. Me too, babe. Me too.
Oh, man.
All I can think of is the ASDF movie where it's the Mind Turtle.
Go Mind Turtle.
Hello.
The Mind Turtle.
This was also the first Ninja Turtles movie that didn't have a song written specifically for the movie.
Yep.
What was in the second movie that was written?
Ninja rap.
Go ninja.
Wait, that was in.
That's the second one.
That's Turtles 2.
Because it's right before they fight Super Shredder. Yep. They're doing the Toka and Razar. They're feeding them the frozen donut things. The Vanilla Ice is playing in the background.
The Vanilla Ice is the second one. They all clearly they are blending together. Yeah. Old man Pete over here.
Old man Pete, just Ninja Turtles, awesome. No, this movie didn't get an original song, but this movie introduced me to one of my favorite songs of all time, and that's Tarzan Boy. I love this song. it is my hype song. Straight
I feel
up,
there will be a comment Tarzan at Boy. The end of the show. When we go through our comments on social media. I feel there is a comment of someone who does not like that song.
I'll fight him. That's
right
it.
Now. We'll set it up, dude.
Do it live. On StreamYard. Let's do it. I will fight you while playing Tarzan Boy the entire fight.
Please. Oh my gosh.
I am unstoppable at that moment.
Oh, man. I thought this was a pretty fun fact that I found. Is that the animatronic heads of Michelangelo and Leonardo from this movie were bought in an auction for $3,800 from a Turtle superfan. Yep. You think about that now, that's not a lot of money for a movie
prop.
No.
Not for two movie props.
Yeah.
Like
this weirdo, this I'm collector, excuse me. got
two. Same this thing.
Weirdo.
I'm sorry. That's unkind. I buy a lot of dumb shit too, so that's super unkind.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Have you ever seen, like, look at all this bullshit back here?
Have you ever seen the picture of the rotting Donatello head? Have you ever seen the picture of the rotting Donatello head? I don't remember which Turtles movie it's from. I think it might be from
Donatello.
No,
yes, that one too.
Rotting,
rotting. Rotting. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's literally a
latex.
It's deteriorating. I should have said deteriorating. Sorry.
I want to see Parker's. Yep.
We got an erotic Ninja Turtles. It was the four. It was the next mutation when they gave us a turtle with tits.
Venus de Milo,
tits, baby.
Search history.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Yep.
Yep. That happened.
Which would
you'll be right.
Which
there,
would have been the that was planned for the fourth movie. Had they had actually decided to go with the fourth movie, was like the next mutation. They were supposed to change the look of the turtles and give us a fifth turtle, which is how we got Venus de Milo.
De Milo. Yep. Oh,
boy.
I don't have a problem with that.
That didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it didn't go anywhere. You're right, Dan.
So this movie was released March 19th, 1993. At 96 minutes, which is just a fucking chef's kiss time.
Perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Budget was $21 million, and it made $54.4 million at the box office. So it did well. I mean, people just love the Ninja Turtles. So, I mean, especially coming off of the success of, you know, part two, you know, people were craving for more Ninja Turtles. And then, yeah, we didn't get another Ninja Turtles movie, like full, like theatrical film, until 2007 with that animated one, the TMNT.
Got that TMNT. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. 14.
I don't think I've seen that one. The next one I saw was that bullshit Michael Bay movie.
Oh, that was 2014 or something. I think.
Bleh. Yeah, that was a lot later.
Awful.
TMNT still considered canon because the scepter from this movie's in that movie. Oh, it's on. It's on the shelf in the background. Yep.
So the latest, if you haven't seen Turtles Mayhem, it's go see that movie.
It's fantastic. It's on Paramount Plus right now. It's
go watch.
There's a beautiful steelbook at Walmart you should snag if you can.
Buy it.
It's gorgeous. I saw it. I almost bought it.
Oh, Charlie, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it as a turtle fan.
I haven't watched it. It's my kids used to love Ninja Turtles, but now trying to get them to just sit down and watch a movie is next to impossible.
What are you talking about? You don't need your kids to watch a movie.
Well, it's Ninja Turtles. I'd like to watch it with my kids because, you know,
what you do
grown
is,
up with Ninja Turtles.
If you don't want to buy all the Ninja Turtles movies right now, they all are on Paramount Plus right now.
You little bastards.
No, you have ever.
Are you still going?
God. I am.
Yeah, that's why I started talking over him.
That's what you have to do. You control
I listen
the
to your
edit
show
button.
Enough. I know the tricks
this.
To Pete.
I'm going
to
mute. Bye.
Muted. Now watch, he'll forget to unmute when we ask him a question. Yep.
All right. Well, I think we have just enough. Let's get into the plot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Dan, are you ready?
Sure.
No, Dan, you always act like you have no idea what we're about to do.
Oh, that part. I'm sorry. I thought we were just talking about the plot. Yeah, okay. That part. Yeah,
the thing that is never going to fully work. The thing is never going to sound good. But we're gonna do it anyways. Hey, all right, you ready, Dan?
Keep throwing mud at the wall until it sticks, dude.
Yep. All right.
Just don't pause for too long in between this.
Ready?
It is time to dissect.
Dissect that film.
You finished it. You finished it because you were so off. But whatever.
See, it's not just us, Pete. It's totally not just us.
I see the challenges other folks have.
Oh, yep. We accept our flaws.
Started laughing, and he's like, "Hope I'm done."
No, Dan finished it up. It's fine. It's fine.
Hey, just like, we finished it together.
I know. Okay. Thank you.
You finished together. Good
record
you,
it Andrew. One time Good perfectly,
you,
and then just
we talked about
that. That'll never happen.
We talked about that. It's more fun to do it this way.
Fucking up every time, and it's different. You never know.
Oh my God!
Are they gonna get it this week?
Probably not, but let's listen up anyway.
This time on Dissect That Film. One day they'll get it
It's
correct.
Just one episode. We just
set it up like a soap opera. Like, last week on Dissect That Film with like some
Oh, I'm thinking more Dragon Ball Z.
I'm leaving you selling the company.
Let's see if
they're gonna yell at each other for 5 minutes.
Let's see if the Dissect Gang can nail it this time.
Yeah, there you go. Freeze frames on us just before we start mm-hmm. saying it. Yes.
Dukes of Hazzard style, baby.
Yeah, please.
Oh, God. All right, here we go. So the movie opens up in Japan in 1603, and we get a beautiful ride in front of the sunrise or sunset. Is it going up or down? I didn't really notice. Did it even move?
I don't know. Out.
Yeah. Was it actually moving? I don't know. I couldn't tell. But the funny thing is as Charlie was talking about earlier, the fact of like watching this in HD is this opening scene, you could see like the green screen like bleeding into the person riding the horse.
Yes. The composite is so bad.
Yeah, when you're watching VHS, you don't notice that, but when you're watching it, you're like, oh boy. Yeah, that is a tricky green screen they got there.
Apparently, they didn't know how to film a rider in front of a sunset back in 1992.
Well, that was good enough. When is the sun ever that big?
It's always that
it's big. It's the land of the rising sun. Come on.
It doesn't set, it only rises.
Exactly. Samurai movies and cowboy movies is the only time it happens.
That's right.
Well, we get this guy getting chased by a bunch of guards, and he gets into a very, to be honest, this sword fight is not that interesting. It is very slow. They are going ting, ting, because I feel like they're just really trying hard to stay on the horses. So they're like, shit, I got to swing a sword too.
And not break a sword, probably.
Yeah.
You guys broke three. We haven't even started the movie yet. Take it easy.
Calm down. Chill with the props, please.
Yeah, and it's very dramatic because he gets caught and they're like, oh, they got to bring him back alive. Got to bring him back to the, I don't remember if they say Daimyo here, but
the palace.
Like, bring him back to the palace. And he's yelling, he's like, Mitsu! Mitsu! And you just want to see like a Mitsubishi Eclipse like just slide out from behind the tree. And she just hops out.
Fast
she's like, yeah, babe. In it.
That's style. It's exactly where my mind went. This is great.
He comes out as the T-Rex from Tammy and the T-Rex.
Oh, running beside the.
Oh. Oh, God. So we are then in New York City. I love how it doesn't tell you the year, though, when you're in New York City. It's like, we told you what year it was in Japan, but you just, it's modern day, everybody. It's today.
It's now.
It's now.
It's now. Now
but
is
I
now.
Need the title card to tell me where we are in time. Just say now. Big letters.
Son of a bitch, Charlie.
He got it.
I didn't get it.
Spaceballs, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I was hoping, like, now is now. So right now, no, that's in the past. We just missed it.
Just missed it. When will then be? Soon.
Yes. Oh, God, it's so good. God.
So we see the turtles doing what they do best, dancing around, doing some crazy choreography. And this is definitely what Pete was talking about, where it's like, this is the just showing us what these suits can do. This is what this entire opening with the turtles is. It's really like, guys, impressive. The suits aren't made from the same people. We got this, guys. They're going to do the same cool things. They're going to be able to do flips. Oh, guys, guess what? They have their weapons back, too. They can actually use their weapons. Because before, it was for the kids, okay?
Won't someone please think of the children?
Ninja Turtles 2 was what Give Me Back My Action in horror movies was trying to do with their kid-friendly.
It neutered us. It really did. Took all the fun.
Did you guys look at your stats for your show to see like if children were listening that month to see how successful it was with the children?
I don't think it actually
that would
gives
put us on that list.
Yeah, I don't want to be on that
granular
list.
It would put us on a list that I don't want to be on. I mean,
right. Like if we were on YouTube, we would have instantly been demonetized. They're like, oh, you're kid friendly now. You don't get to
make
money. Yeah.
Charlie's you were talking about dicks before. Now you're saying child friendly. Yeah.
It's fun to watch everyone go ooh, during the episode whenever they let something slip.
I was good. I was good. I think I let one little thing almost come out fully, but I was good.
Yeah. It worked.
I didn't whip my dick out.
So everything was a success.
This episode's obviously not kid friendly, so it's totally fine.
I don't think we've ever, even when we talk about kids' movies, it's not kid friendly.
There ain't nothing stopping me, dude.
We talked about the Great Mouse Detective and Black Cauldron. We were not kid friendly.
No, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely
your Black Cauldron episode was a lot of fun. That was a good time. I don't remember Great Mouse Detective.
The best was when someone online was like, "Oh, I love the Black Cauldron," and I recommended the episode, going, "Oh yeah, I don't think we said a lot of nice things about that movie." Well, hope you have fun. Bye.
That was me commenting to you.
Wait, was it really?
I was the one that said I love the Black Cauldron, and you went, "You might want to listen to the episode to find out how we really feel about it."
Well, you had it under a different name, so I didn't know it was you.
It was probably under the Instagram account.
Oh no, I think someone else. I think it happened with someone else. I think I remember talking to you about it, but there was some random person on Twitter or something who mentioned Black Cauldron. I was like, "Oh, listen to our episode." Like,
what was that, Angela?
We didn't hate it.
I work with someone who said it was his favorite Disney movie, and I was just like,
"Really? Oh.
Sorry, don't listen to our episode."
I was like, "We didn't have a lot of nice things to say."
Skip that episode. Go listen to another one, please.
Oh man. So April comes to the sewer, and she's got some goodies for each one of them. And I just love that Michelangelo gets a lampshade. And he's just sitting there confused, but he's trying not to be rude about it. Okay. And then just puts it on his head and does the. Yeah.
Did you hear? If you listen at it loud enough, there's background track of him going, "Where's the rest of it?" And when he's digging through the bag. Yeah. I had it up pretty loud sense. And I was like, he goes,
there's a lot of that banter in the background.
Oh, it's yeah. all, really it was hard. Like really, going. Really low, but
even with subtitles on, boy, it was hard to,
yeah,
the subtitles didn't pick it all up.
But he literally does say, "Where's the rest of it?"
it's like when you watch a foreign film, and of course they always have subtitles, and you know they're translating, and then it just gets to the point where it just says speaks whatever language. It's like speaking. I was watching a movie that was in German, and it had translation, and then just randomly it just says speaking German, and I went, "Well, what is he saying? I want to know what the hell he's saying."
Please.
Were you watching it on YouTube or something?
No, it was. I don't know.
Was it the disc? That's weird.
No, it was on some website I found because I could not find the movie.
Because it's automated at that point.
This sounds questionable. Are you looking up German porn?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
No.
Took him a little bit to deny that.
He was trying to remember what version he was watching.
Slow to deny that, you're right.
No, it was French. Ha!
It was the ET porn. That's what it was.
Oh god!
Ew.
So, included in all these goodies,
whole body. She brings.
What is happening right now?
You're watching German ET porn, not us. Oh, sorry.
You leave me alone, okay? Don't judge me on what I watch. I'm a grown ass man. I can watch whatever porn I want.
I pay taxes, damn it. I can watch whatever the hell I want.
If I keep laughing like this, I'm going to have
timeout. We'll take a break in a few minutes. Jesus, we're barely into the plot here. Almost an hour in. April brings
touched the plot, have we?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest, there's not much of a plot to this movie, Parker, so it's okay.
Go, please, don't let me interrupt.
Why? This is fun. We're having fun. We're having fun. So April has some sort of looks like a lamp post that she just broke off in the middle of New York City, but it's a scepter that she gives to Splinter. And does he know what it is pretty much right off the bat?
I don't think
when
so.
When he sees it?
No.
Okay. For some reason, I thought.
I don't think he got to see it yet.
Because April was looking at it like, "Oh, what is this?" And then that's when everything happens. Because this is when
she calls it an egg timer or something.
Right. Because we're back in Japan and Kenshin is pissed off because you find out that his dad is the daimyo and pretty much locks him. He's like, you got to stay in the castle. You're not leaving. And so he's throwing a temper tantrum, freaking scaring all the monks out of there. And then he's freaking throwing statues everywhere until one of them breaks, and inside is another one of these scepters, which then activates, because two people who we later find out you have to be the same weight to be able to transfer.
Yep.
And then you switch clothes also, which
would be you're wearing the same clothes.
Uncomfortable.
Most of your clothes, as we learn.
I assume April's maybe wearing a bra and panties.
A thong. And Kenshin is now wearing a bra and a thong.
Exactly. Yes.
They did have to read the words on the thing. So it doesn't like it. They just held it and it turned on. Kenshin reads it. You know, he's reading, you know, Japanese, and they just found it. So yeah, that's how it activates all of a sudden.
And it's right before this, he sees the scroll that has the prophecy with the turtles.
Kappa.
You see them. Yeah.
Kappa. Kappa is a yokai. And
yes, it is.
I'm gonna nerd out, so I'm gonna be quiet.
In a cucumber.
We also met Walker earlier too when Kenshin gets brought in.
Yeah, see, he gets it.
Cucumber.
Cucumber?
In a dish. Dish full of water on your head, yes.
Yeah. Don't they like just water being poured into that dish on their head too?
Yes. They have to have water in their head. If the water goes away, they die or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, like Parker.
That's not where my mind was at.
Sorry. I have no fucking clue what is happening right now. Cucumber. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay. I'm with you too, Parker. Don't feel bad. I thought we were talking about E.T. all of a sudden again. So
that's where my mind was.
And I are
at.
Bonding here.
Thank over you, Angela. I didn't want to feel that awkward.
I mean, you
awkward
brought
one
cucumber
here.
Up, and I was like, whoa. Oh,
it's like, wow, green turtle cucumbers.
You're not using cucumbers that way, Angela.
Sorry.
So we got the scepter, and it read Japanese, and we saw
and then they
scroll.
April is switched with Kenshin. The turtles are like, what the fuck just happened here? And that's when Kenshin keeps calling him Kappa, and he's like, well, Kappa what? Like, what are you talking about?
Cappuccino. Don't make me hyper.
That's very funny.
It was also one of the first adult jokes I caught listening to it whenever Mikey's standing over Kenshin, and he goes, how did you get into April's pants? I was like, oh, they totally slid that in, and I never realized that. Like, oh my God, this is great. It's so innocent when you're a kid. Like, yeah, how are you in her clothes? That's not what the joke meant.
Kind of an innocent question, too. Mm-hmm. It has a double, yes, you're right. Yeah. The entendres.
Yes. One would say a double entendre, Nate or Pete.
Pete. Fuck you, Charlie.
Nate usually makes comments like that, so that's why I said it.
So, we're back in Japan. April is brought upon the daimyo to pretty much explain herself and be like, where the fuck is my son? And her tape player starts going off, and people freak out. And I just love it. She's just like, you could have just asked me to turn it off. Because they literally just take their swords to it. I love how Walker and his gang are just like chilling in the back, like, oh, shut the fuck up. Niles, shut up.
Yeah, this is more expensive back then. Yeah. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
Hey, that thing was still playing without batteries for a solid 2-3
I
seconds.
Saw there was a speaker on the back of it, which was weird. I don't ever remember Walkman having.
That was one of the expensive ones that when the headphones come out, you could play it that way.
Right.
Yep.
So Walker steps in and pretty much is like, because they think she's a witch. So Walker comes and pretty much does it, like, and kind of tests it out. She kind of goes with it. She's like, yeah, I am a witch. And
I got that.
She looks like
yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm over here quoting.
I wish we kept a tally on how many times that sequence is brought up in an episode. I swear, anytime a witch is probably every episode of the Conjuring series, because we always talked about a witch.
It's worth it.
She turned me into a newt. I got better.
Well, she turned them into turtles.
Yeah,
right. It's a witch.
Ooh. But what did she say she was going to do to him? Didn't she like threaten him that she was going to like turn him into something? And
she
that's kind of like
cancel
what?
Cancel him or something on social media. I don't remember.
You're going to be canceled when I get home. I'm going to tell everyone on Twitter about you.
It happens.
I thought something about making him float or something.
Then melt him into a pile of puke or something. I don't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Puke. She said puke a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he knows what that word means necessarily.
Nope. It just happens that there's people that speak English there, so there's no real language barrier.
Don't worry about it. It bothered me for a minute that they're in feudal Japan, the Edo period. They don't speak English,
but they're in on the joke though, because Donnie tries to explain it in a little bit, and they cut him off. But he's literally trying to explain to the audience why there's English speaking people in feudal Japan.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just don't worry.
In 1609, the English were trading with the. The date was wrong, but it was still kind of accurate.
Well, he said 1609, and I was like, well, the movie, the beginning, it tells me it's 1603.
Yeah, that was the start of the Tokugawa period, the Edo period, whatever.
And Leo just happened to get a book about swords that he could date the sword that Kenshin shows up with. Well, his sword appears to be from feudal Japan.
Yeah.
So, perfect.
Wow. It's like when you watch a movie and somebody just opens a book and just knows exactly what page it is. It's like there was no book mark or anything. They just like, okay, let's look up the spell we need to do. Oh, I gotta turn this page. Perfect. Found it.
It's the Chris Farley Rhodey Wayne's World workaround. I think I had a lot of information for being just a roadie here. That's awesome.
It's quite the exposition. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Continue, Parker, please.
So this was when we found out the weird information about the fact that both people have to be the same weight to transfer. And I went, huh?
Why?
When the turtles teleport over with those guards, there's no way they're the same weight.
Nope. April and the man, I can get that because men in that time in Japan
were
significantly smaller.
Yeah,
and than people are today, men and or women. But boy, the turtles, those guys have got to weigh 200+ each, and
more.
Even the royal guards are not 200 pounds.
And it's not like they're counting the armor because the armor stayed back. So they can't even factor that into it. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to say, I know this is dissect that film, but don't dissect this part of the movie. It's
totally
But that's what we do.
I just wish that all the turtles had started wearing grass skirts or kilts or something so that when
they were all in different outfits, came in
like someone's got a muumuu on and the other guys, it
kind of answered what everyone's asking is whether Kenshin's wearing April's underwear, but totally. They show up in their own underwear and you're like, oh, the magic is modest at least.
Yes.
So, you know, it works out fairly well.
They would have been naked except for whoever's wearing shorts.
So they don't show up hair butt naked, exactly like Mikey said.
Hair butt naked.
So pretty much we also get Casey back. He just comes in. It's like, oh yeah, guys, I'm back on this movie. But I'm not gonna do anything. I'm gonna
sit here a while.
But you're not gonna do nothing.
pretty much. And Donnie pretty much is like, we need to be back in 2.5 days, or it was like 60 hours, or they would.
Yeah. Like, we're going to turn into something turtle like that, soup
or turtle mush or something.
Right. Did that mean you were going to die and like the time continuum will erase you? Or was it just meant you were stuck? Because then they wanted to stay.
Yeah.
But why would you be turtle soup?
You know,
anytime
you delve into time travel, everyone's take on it is different.
Is wrong. It's just everyone's take on it.
What do you have to put that on, Charlie? Like, who's is right?
The only hot tub time machine. That's the only one that's right.
Well, of course, that's the only one that's right.
The only accurate one that exists
of everything,
all of it.
Oh,
but this was like I took it as we're toast. We're gonna be stuck.
Fair. I mean, but still, why would you say turtle soup? Why not just say we would be stuck there forever?
They're being silly
and turtle soup.
Anyway, Parker, so
they
can
say the line from the TV show. That's exactly what it would be, because Shredder always said turtle soup.
Right. Tonight, I died on turtle soup.
There you go.
That Pete's tickled dead. Pete A-O. A lot. Oh, God. That was a spot on Shredder, and just Pete lost it. That was it.
So April is now thrown in a box, pretty much, and hoisted in the air in the little prison that they have. And she sees someone who also gets brought in because he's part of Walker's crew, but he's like turning against him. So he gets locked up as well. And he looks awfully familiar. And she looks at him and she goes, Casey. And I go, why would that be Casey? Why would it be Casey? Clearly, you're not anywhere near home.
Well, it's a kind of magic. We don't know. She can say, I got transported here. I shouldn't be here. But it's a great little like, hey, this is the actor that also plays Casey Jones. You know, again, for 13-year-old Charlie going, why does that guy look familiar? It's Casey.
When you got teleported,
and then she looks at the rat and she goes, you look familiar too. So that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Good joke.
Yeah. And we're back with the turtles, and they are pretty much planning to, you know, do the same thing that April did. And their plan was, oh, the scepter is probably in the temple, so you're going to teleport with the priests that are there, so everything will be fine. But when they do it, it's not priests, it's the Daimyo's guards, and so things get a little hairy there.
Yeah, so why did he take it into battle? That's like one of the things like I was like questioning today was you had certain things that they would carry into battle, you know, like your banner or something. It's like, we just found this cool looking thing. Let's take it to battle. We'll just show the other side.
He explains to Walker later why he was doing that, because it was like they always brought it into battle because it always brought luck, or he thought it brought enough magic that it would help him defeat.
But it was in a statue.
Const in a statue.
But that's what he says later on in the movie when he talks to Walker. He's literally like, we always bring it because it's got magic and it's going to help us defeat all our enemies. So, it's like, yeah. But I'm thinking the same thing as Charlie. I'm like, yeah, but your son broke a statue and that's where it came from. So what are we talking about?
Temper tantrum and now it's here.
What are we talking about
here? Sharks of the Corn? Virus Shark? Cocaine Shark? Sharktopus? Yeah, those are all real movies. Join me, Steve Coates, as each week I take a comedic look at the bizarre world of sharksploitation cinema on Bucket of Chum, the Shark Movie Podcast.
So yeah, the turtles are now in Japan. They're on horses. Clearly don't know how to ride horses because they are very awkward on them. Like a Michelangelo is
backwards.
He's like, mine doesn't have a head.
Anybody seen Mikey? Yeah, last time I saw him, he was going, oh!
Because they get thrown into like a swamp, and then Mikey gets like ridden off into the woods. It's so funny because Corey Feldman, he sounds different in this movie compared to the first one. Like his voice definitely got deeper and more raspy.
I was gonna say he sounds raspier.
Yeah, I mean,
well, he's doing this.
He was going through. Life. He was going through a lot of stuff in his life, so understandable. So
he was probably smoking at that point. Oh, that's probably exactly what he was doing.
It's just like when we were talking about Mark Hamill in The Guyver. It was like it wasn't even 10 years after Return of the Jedi that he was in that movie, and he already sounded like the Joker.
He smoked a lot. Series.
Yeah,
you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
So Mikey gets separated and then he gets knocked out by Mitsu. She fucking hits him with a log.
It's effective.
Yes,
it works. Yeah.
And this is what she like uncovers him and notices that it doesn't look like anybody I've ever seen before. And then they carry him off. So the Daimyo is just like, where the hell is my honor guard? Because the turtles transferred with the honor guard, so now they are the honor guard, and he's just like, where are they? So they get called up, but they don't go. They kind of hide. And I love the guy who's sent to search for him. He's like, guys, come on, you gotta go talk. And then they disappear again, and he comes up, and he's like, where are they? He's like,
they're behind the wagon.
Oh, damn it. And he calls him an idiot. He's like, just like,
they were right there, I swear.
But they're underneath the cart, which I thought was that was pretty funny. I just love the facial
ninja vanish.
And Walker sends Niles, his little grimy little sidekick there, to go get the girl. So they find April. They land in some shit as they escape. They go down like the little hatchway. Did they actually land in shit?
Oh, that's like, shit. This and is piss. The sewer? Okay. That was the dungeon. Yeah, that was the drain hole from from the dungeon. But apparently there was spinach, so they're getting good roughage. So that worked out really well.
And nobody landed on top of anybody else.
No, out of the same exact chute. And I love how they kept the camera there, and it would slightly like flip between the film, and you could tell like, oh, it's a new. There's a new scene.
Yep.
Oh, I almost swallowed a turtle or a frog. I hope it wasn't an ancestor.
This is when we get the help. I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Yep. Love that one.
But the fights that were happening in the dungeon, they were really good. I really liked the fight choreography in that. I mean, the fact that these guys can do this with these ridiculously big, obnoxious suits. Is really impressive.
Yeah, it goes without saying. I think all the choreography with the martial arts is really well done for people in big rubber suits.
Yeah. And it's and just the way they fight too. Like they do fight with their weapons, but they're never like giving final like killing blows with them. I mean, they're just being used.
I think Donnie's the only one that's actually using his weapon. Like,
because he can, because it's just a stick. It's just a staff. Stick, yeah.
Right. Everything else is stabby or skull crushing.
Or defensive is what they would use.
Mike used his nunchucks to defend a few times.
He cracked a few people, but Leo and Raph were Raph were mostly like on the defensive with theirs because.
Leo does have a legit sword fight later on. So sorry to step on your toes here, Parker. So
you're good. You're good.
Just bark at Parker.
We're about to see where Raph does the same thing to these fucking dudes, and I'm just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, chill out, Raph. Good God.
Right. I'm angry all the time.
Raph isn't as angry in this one as he has been in the prior two movies. Like, the first one, he is uber angry at everything. Yeah. Like, he's up there, you know, he's on the top of the building in the first one, you know, just throwing his arms.
Damn!
That teen angst.
Yeah.
I mean, he throws a fit at the beginning of this movie, though, because he's like April's like, where is Raph?
Right, out of here.
He's sulking or upset again. And she's like, again? Like, we're getting it through everyone that Raph is the angry one of the group.
No way.
But after that, though, I feel like Raph isn't that angry throughout this.
Because he gets a bit of a character arc in this as it rolls around, because Yoshi has the... Mm-hmm.
Which I have things to say about that when that happens here.
Let's let Parker keep going.
So Mikey wakes up in like a shed, and he has the scepter. Or they took the scepter from him, but he wakes up, doesn't know where he's at. This is when they're at the river, and this is when April's like, you know, modifying her outfit, and they're like, "Woo, legs."
Swing.
I'm like, damn, turtle's getting horny. I love when they're just like, guys, it's clean water, and there's no like beer cans or paper or anything in the water. And look it, there's no city sounds. It's just the wilderness. And I'm like, oh man, it's so sad. It's so sad because these guys live in a sewer.
But they were kind of in a wildernessy place in the first one.
Yeah, they're out.
When they went to that cottage. Or
yeah,
whatever,
but like
that house.
Yeah, I know it's probably been a hot minute, but like it's not like this big revelation. Like they'd never been anywhere like that before. But I don't know.
Oh man. So they get ambushed after it's all said and done, and Donnie's fights are the best because, as Pete said, Donnie is the only one who can actually fight with his weapon, like fully. So he's out there doing crazy moves with his staff, freaking beating the shit out of everybody. And yeah, you get Raph and Leo using their weapons, but I love it where it's like Raph does a sword fight with a guy and then puts his swords back or just punches a dude, or just takes two guys' heads and bashes them together with the swords in his hand.
Right.
I thought it was pretty creative how they were able to do that. I was like, I would have just want to see like them do like a shish kebab with one of the katanas, just like three guys and one sword. And like, oh no.
What'd you do, Leo?
It slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries.
Just give us more.
Just make them robots. Just bring it. Go up, redo this. Do the foot soldier things as robots.
Yeah.
Powered by JVC technologies and all that stolen equipment they have from the first movie. And just so we can stab some shit. Yeah. I guess we got to wait till that apparent live action Ronin movie they're working on happens. That's probably
one of the ways. Let me tell you, if that thing happens, I'm down for it.
It's supposed to be R-rated.
It's more Ninja Turtles, so
Last Ronin needs to be R-rated if they're going to follow the book at all.
Well, Paramount announced it. It is coming, so I hope it's good.
And so will a lot of Turtles.
We all hope it's going to be good. Nobody wants a bad movie.
So during this whole fight, we then find out that Walker and his crew are burning down the village, Mitsu's village. And so they rush back to get there. And then Mikey's in the village. He's fighting off some guys and he runs into Walker. And I love how he thinks he's Clint Eastwood. He's like, Clint?
He's like, nah. Well, and then they have like the Western, like show, like stare at each other as they cross.
Because I think it was Niles was like aiming at him and he sees him and he's just like, freaking out, and Walker doesn't believe what he's saying, and so when he finally sees Mikey, he's just like, what?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, my guy isn't drunk. Okay, I see what he's talking about.
That's a
did you say we, drunk?
And then we almost we get the Wet Willy part two. Mm-hmm. And then
Wet Willy.
It's the facial expression of Niles when it happens. His eyes get huge. He yells.
So they are able to kind of scare them out of the village. Mikey goes in and saves Yoshi from burning building. And when he comes out, is it Raph that gives him CPR?
Leo.
I thought it would have been Donnie, but
that
Leo
is did. My issue is we get a buddy like thing with Yoshi and Raph, but Mikey and Leo literally saved his life in this movie, but the kid connects to Raph because they flew a kite together
and the yo-yo.
Yep.
But it's like,
daddy,
these other two saved you're on this planet because of those two over there, but no, we're not going to worry about those guys.
They're like, we need Leo to do something in this movie.
Because Leo doesn't do anything in any of the movies. Leo is...
Well, he has the final conflict with the daimyo at the end of this film.
Which I like. I think that one of my favorite things in this.
I
feel like they have the hardest time getting Leo to do anything in these movies.
He's got swords, man. It's tough to write this for a kid's film.
And to show leadership qualities, but you know, like in the first one he's learning to be a leader, the second one he's almost secondary character throughout most of the movie, you know, because it's all sciency based, and then you know the token Razar, everything, and Mikey being silly. Leonardo's always my favorite turtle. I love Leonardo, the leader of the turtles. He's been one of my favorites.
Well, they do him better in any of the animated stuff. He's he's one of the top turtles.
He's so good in the latest one, Mayhem.
Mutant Mayhem.
Go see this. Anyway,
Walker goes back to the daimyo, which I was like, what is this guy called? Is he the emperor? Is he a lord? Because they say lord a lot, so I just kept putting lord. And then they said they don't say daimyo until like halfway through the movie, and I'm like, is that what he is? Okay, yes. Well, I guess he's the daimyo now. So Walker goes to him about a deal. Pretty much the daimyo's original plan was he was going to defeat his enemies the way he always has. And now that he's lost the staff, he's got to resort to using guns and using everything that Walker can provide for him. So he's still a little skeptical about certain things. Like he agrees to a deal, but he doesn't agree to everything every part of that deal, so it's still it's not fully there for Walker.
Well, and Walker keeps upping it because he realizes he needs it. Because he does, he goes, "I'll do your deal for silk and silver for guns and gunpowder."
Yeah,
he goes,
"I want
I want gold now, which means I want more."
Right.
For
he's like, no.
Yeah.
Oh. And yeah, we find out that he's like, "I don't got gold for you. I got silver and silk."
And we find out right around this point that Walker is probably going to double cross the daimyo anyway. Right. When the battle is fully over,
the daimyo is side-eyeing him the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh,
because they don't trust him.
So you don't trust whiteys.
You don't trust whiteys. Is that what you said?
Whiteys. Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
Solution to all. They're the cause of its solution to all life's problems.
Right. Never trust the round eye. Gosh.
Fuck them, dude.
Dang, yeah, shady thinking
ass fuckers, their big old noses breathing up all the air.
That's right.
This whole interaction, Walker's a doctor's office, and they're the insurance company. Like, okay, we'll pay it.
Yeah, right. Yep. Well, dude, I know what he does. So, like, the daimyo just goes up to Walker. He's like, "Dude, I need you to do something for me. Okay, we need to discourage the locals. So, I need you to go up in the mountains, and I need you to blow up their statue. But first, put a huge stake into its head." And then try to
yes.
Make sure it's metal.
How Dimajin gets stink. Torn into this. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
We talked about it when we were watching it. Yeah. Like, dude, I want him to go blow up a statue. Like, please. Mm-hmm.
Dude, the turtles fighting Dimajin? Imagine that.
Ooh, like a giant, sweet. Like Donnie could make mm-hmm. a giant stone turtle to battle Dimajin.
Ooh. I'd watch that.
Whatever.
Did you see the Batman Turtles feudal?
I own it. I've never seen
cartoon.
It.
I wanted to like it really well, but there's some at the last battle. It's all giant robots. It's fantastic. I wish I
always
liked
has
it
to resort to giant robots.
Yeah,
it's it works, dude. It makes it happen.
Oh man. So we then see the turtles learn to ride horses. They're not doing so well, but Leo is catching on quick because he's standing up right now, where it's like, guys,
oh, he's
having a good time. Bye. Just
right. He's in Ringling Brothers at this point, right?
You know, sometimes I really hate that guy.
It's a good line.
So they can't find. Did the scepter get taken, or they just can't find it? So they resort to making one.
It got taken.
Okay.
Yeah. I think as far as everyone else, we come to find out that it's been hidden.
Well, yeah,
it's MIA.
A POV shot of somebody grabbing it, but we don't see who takes it initially.
Right.
Yeah, because they go through this whole thing of making this fucking scepter, for then 5 seconds after they get the scepter, they drop it down a well. And I went, are you serious?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't seem all that broken up. Like, they're a little mad, but no. It's not as bad as they probably should.
They're just like, darn, I guess we got to do it again. Like,
it's because they didn't make it. This guy did. Oh. And it's the blacksmith with the biggest effing hammer smashing the coldest piece of steel I've ever seen. Like, sell it. Make the orange, paint it orange. I don't
paint
care.
Orange, right?
But sell it as it's hot. Nope, just giant wooden mallet hitting metal. That guy's going to make it. He's really, really good with his hands.
So we get the whole scene with Raph flying the kite with Yoshi. And all that popped up in my head was, let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go. Okay, I can't say too much of that. Disney will see.
I already have comments about things that didn't happen.
I cannot wait to hear what Angela has to say.
Well, you have something to say right now?
At the end.
Oh, at the end. Okay. Sorry, I missed that part.
Disappointments. Other than me.
We always get this epic scene where it's like all the crew is like, all of Walker's crew is on this beautiful beach and they're, you know, shooting their guns at targets and Walker's enjoying some sort of snack. And this guy rides out and tells him, he's like, the daimyo has accepted your prize. And he's like, perfect. And then he just takes a sheet off of a cannon and just, that is the fastest shooting cannon I've ever seen in my life. Like, there is barely a wick. He's like, tink, and you're like, what the fuck?
Lights it off with a cigar, which is the best. Just
yeah, boom. It's pretty badass. But then it shoots three targets at once.
Yeah, it had, but not at once, because they all blow up separately. They're all like, yeah, boom, right, boom, boom. You're like, I don't think that's how a cannonball works. I mean,
you can put other things than cannonballs in cannons, but it doesn't make them all explode in succession.
You can fill a cannon with
this is 1603. I really need to do some research and see what kind of cannons we're using.
Listen, this cannon can't help it that it exploded prematurely.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Performance that issue.
Hey, it happens to all of us.
Yeah. It was his first movie. It was nervous.
God damn.
You invited us, Parker.
I did. Enjoy. There's no regrets.
No regrets.
No yes, regrets.
Exactly.
No regrets. So Mikey talks to Mitsu and gets a crush on her. There's 100% just falls in love with this woman. And
he's like, man, I'd love to cucumber that broad.
Oh, God, wow.
So we're back with Casey.
The turtle power.
We're back with Casey, and he is trying to teach the guys how to play hockey because he turned on the TV, so they've been watching it, and then now he's trying to show them how to play, but instead they just start beating the shit out of each other, which I thought was pretty
cool. Which is hockey.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's true. It is very true.
Best Casey Jones to watch hockey. Says, hey, just like you saw on TV. So they turn around and they start beating the shit out of each other.
He even goes, I can work with this. Okay. That's fine.
This is early 90s hockey, and it was, oh man, there was a lot of fighting in early 90s.
Oh,
man.
Oh, yeah.
So the papers are signed, and there is to be no prisoners because, the jail is becoming full, so we don't plan on taking any prisoners. And so
no quarter.
That plan is in effect now. We talked about the fact that they built the scepter. They dropped it 5 seconds later. But then Yoshi brings the scepter to Raph. It says, oh, yeah, we've had it the whole time. And they're like, if I was Raph, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Shit.
We just had to deal with the fucking just blacksmith who was about to beat the. Yeah, like, what is wrong with you? Give me back my yo-yo, bitch.
Give me back my yo-yo.
Yeah, but then he yells, Leo, I found it. I'm like, no, yeah, didn't.
If I was Yoshi, I'd be like, what?
totally taking credit for
that. He should have been like, Leo, these motherfuckers.
Start stabbing random people inside of that man.
Right. That's when you start doing it.
You just see like a ragdoll effect. You see like a dummy just fly across the room. It's supposed to be Yoshi. Just like
throws Yoshi. Like, woo!
Oh, man. So they. Pretty much they were set up to fight. So they hid the scepter because they wanted the turtles to fight against the daimyo.
Yeah.
And against Walker, I'm guessing. So Wit, who is the Casey Jones of this universe, he takes Mitsu and brings her to the daimyo. And you find out that he's been working with Walker the entire time as his spy.
He also takes a scepter.
That takes the scepter and right. Oh no, he doesn't take. Does he take Mitsu or does he take?
Yeah, he takes
April. No, April just goes there by herself.
Yeah, but he takes Mitsu. He has the scepter and he goes, "Bring Kenshin to the palace by morning." And I'm like, "You've been here with him, and I'm sure you've heard they're not from this time, and they've talked about it. You should know Kenshin isn't here.
Yeah,
like at all." Because, you know, even Wit's like, take me with you. Wherever you're going, take me with you. And April's like, no, fuck off. I can't do that. You know, two Caseys. We're not making that movie. And then, you know, but it's, Kenshin's not there. No one's even seen him. Why is that like, bring him and then you'll get this back? I'm like, that made no sense whatsoever. Story-wise as an adult. As a kid, I didn't give a shit.
Yeah, it was weird, but sometimes you just have to ignore it.
I can't
do it. So after this, the turtles and April go to the castle on their own. April gets captured again, pretty much, but that was kind of the whole plan. They seize
the damsel, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. So they see the prophecy scroll for themselves, and I love how they're just like, they're like, "Ooh, look at us. We're built. Look at us. We look badass."
Little throwback to the original comic. They're all wearing red bandanas their armor pieces, just like they did in the original comic. So there was no like discernible colors.
Right. Cause the original run was black and white, correct?
Black and white. Correct. And they had the red bandanas, all of them.
Yes. There was black and white and they had red bandanas. Thanks, Charlie. Yep.
That's what I said. Thanks, Pete.
Oh, this is when the guards come in, or just the soldiers come in. I love one of the lines is, "Were you expecting the Addams Family?" And then I think it was Mikey who gets his shell hit, and he's like, "He who dings the shell must pay."
Love it.
And so they get it. There's a showdown at the castle between this is when Leo actually fights the daimyo, because they both got their katanas. And I love where it starts with one, and then Leo takes out the second one, and they're fighting. This fight is actually, I actually enjoyed their sword fight. I liked the choreography of it all. It was way more exciting than the opening fight with Kenshin riding his horse and this awkward sword fight. So it was really, it was a lot more interesting.
It wasn't very good.
We finally got a final fight in a turtle movie.
Well done. Yes.
The first one, they get their asses handed to them by Shredder. Then all of a sudden, Splinter shows up and he falls off the building. The second one, they fight Toka and Rizar a little bit till they turn back into other animals, and they drop a pier on top of Super Shredder. Like, we never get a final fight, and Leo and the Daimyo's sword fight was just, finally, we get a fight to the end. Cartoon style, kid-friendly style, but it's still really well. And then he pulls a Mr. Miyagi on the Daimyo, cuts the top of his head hair off instead of, you know, honking the nose in Karate Kid.
Yeah, because honestly,
that's an incredible, it's incredibly offensive to chop that top part of a Daimyo's hair off. That is a source of.
It's more or less, you know, like a dishonor type thing.
It's instead of killing him. Dishonorable thing. It was worse than killing him.
As
bad as death. Yeah.
Yep. And then trapping him in a bell, which.
Well, that too.
Love it.
That happens.
Which then gets blasted by a cannonball.
Oh, the look, bell.
Don King still kills me to this day. Love that fucking joke.
Again, it doesn't age well, but for folks of a certain age. That's damn
right.
Funny.
Why are we getting a fight with Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, and not one person is like made a meme with Don King in the damn thing? Like, you can't have a big fight Mike without Don King being involved. I don't care.
Is Don King still alive?
I don't know. He might be dead. That's why I'm saying that at least like put him in, like the hologram of Don King will be at the fight.
You need the holodeck Don King.
92 years young.
Is he still alive?
Bring
him out.
Good for him.
He's still active. He says
happily
he's
retired.
The hair is a wig, obviously, but we don't care. We always thought it was to begin with.
Don't matter.
So yeah, this is when, you know, the cannon and all the guns are kind of aimed at the turtles. They think they're kind of done for. And the cannon goes off. This is when who is it? Is it Leo?
Leo
shrinks down into his shell, and that's when he says the line, "It's great to be a turtle." And is this the first time we didn't see this in the second one, right? With the turtles using their shells like actual turtles. This was like the first time we had
seen. That's a good question. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, they do it in one because Mikey ducks down in one of them when a foot soldier is trying to cut his head.
He ducks down.
I think that's the very first one he ducks down. I don't know if they do it in the second one. Because they do the spin around gag
on the shell.
The shell. This may be the only other time. Now, this is the one where it's like in front. It's not like just the head ducking down behind the, you know, the shell of a shell. But this is like full on, like the body drops, but the shell stays exactly in place. Mm-hmm. And if you look, they all do it. They all duck down. But Leo's the one like front and center of the cannon. Right. Because he's convinced everyone, like, well, you do it Walker, you're too scared because these bullets are going to bounce off of us. Little did we know that, you know, they were going to do that later in the movies. And, you know, someone was writing that down going, bulletproof turtles. That's going to make a really good movie one day.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Yep.
So the turtles.
Pete died just a little bit right there when I said bulletproof turtles. He's like, yeah, damn it. Damn. Oh, little Michael Bay doing a music video watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 going, that's a good idea. I'm going to put that in my notebook. Putting that in my notebook, boys. One day.
It's so funny.
Bulletproof turtles.
It's so funny that Michael Bay is so attached to those movies, even though he didn't direct them.
No, but you put his name on something, and then if there's any flaw, it's Michael Bay's fault. It's always Michael Bay.
That is very true.
If those turtle movies aren't Michael Bay movies, I don't know what is.
Oh, they are Michael Bay movies to a T.
Through and through.
They are. No. They literally just took a Transformers movie. They plucked out the Transformers, and they're. Let's put these big monstrosities that are Ninja Turtles in there.
And you know what? Let Shredder be a Transformer. That's totally fine.
Pretty we're much.
Totally the Turtles were Transformers in some of those toys, I think.
Oh, yeah, there was Transformer Turtles. Yeah. But they literally made Shredder a Transformer in the movie.
I know. It's bad.
So, yeah, the Turtles get the scepter. Walker falls off the side of the castle into the water below.
By a Casey doppelganger, just like in the first movie.
Yep. And we then get the final scene where the half of the turtles don't want to go back. Like you have Mikey, who's in love with Mitsu. He doesn't want to go back.
Mike and Raph don't want to
go back. And Raph doesn't want to go back because he's got this connection with Found Yoshi. Peace. And pretty much it's April who's just like, listen, you stay, you fuck everything up. Like you're going to destroy, you're going to rewrite history. You know, we got to go back. Like, what are we talking about? You can't split up. And so then they're like, okay, but then it's at the last second, like Mikey doesn't make it, or at least you don't think he makes it to the scepter in time. And so but then you have the one guy who the guy who's supposed to be taking Mikey's place takes the scepter and runs away. And then it like activates again. And then Mikey drops down. And they're like, yay, we made it.
They made it. Yeah.
Go. Thank God.
Happy ending.
The happy ending, and if you pay close attention, the scepter is completely melted to take any chance of them doing it again. Mm. So I like that little, like, well, why can't someone just do it again? Melted. Dead.
It don't work anymore.
Yeah. Not that there would be another one in another timeline that they could then jump to that timeline.
Or maybe the one in the past is still good and you could find it again.
It is still good because they hand it to the daimyo. She hands it over to him.
You're right.
So now they would have to stargate a new code to another planet, and then they could do that one.
Planet?
Yeah, stargate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I mean, we need turtles in space, right?
Why did we take
a trip to space? Okay?
Four should have been turtles in space. Damn it!
Yep,
they went. Leprechaun went to space in four. So yeah. Leprechaun can do it, the turtles can do it.
Hellraiser went to space.
Oh my god! Jason went to space.
Jason went to space.
Critters were in space.
Yeah, then they went back to space. Yeah, they're from space and then went back. They could. All you got to do is dream him in space and he's there. It writes itself.
We just had that one movie about International Space Station. Just have it take place in the International Space Station.
There you go.
Boom. Right there.
Dude, can we ignore the fact that we talked about that movie?
Sure. But that's fine. Yeah.
Parker, you're in control. Move us along.
No, the movie you're talking, are we thinking about the same thing?
The International Space Station, ISS.
Yeah. Were you talking about that Tubi movie we covered?
No. I'm talking about that horror movie that was like that ISS that came out like last year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing. Yeah.
Not Life, the other one.
No. Well, that's just people killing
each other. Yeah, it's just people killing one another. Because the world was going to war and they made them go to war.
Yeah, they kind of nuked themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta take the space station back because it's a foothold. Like, dude, the world's fucked up. Ain't nobody getting up there for a while.
You're all that's left. You might as well just get along. The other one was Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal alien on the space station.
People call it a Venom prequel.
It's a Venom prequel, basically. Yeah. It kind of is, honestly.
Yeah. So did you love the fact that Casey has a hard time getting the guys back? And then the very next scene, the guys are like rushing back. Like they're like, oh no, we got to get home. But before they're like, we're not going home. We're playing on the arcade in the bar.
Yeah.
We're in a literal bar in New York. I'm not going anywhere.
It's funny. It just made like, oh my God, please end this movie.
No, like don't end it.
We had the big climactic ending, and then we have a Lord of the Rings. Okay, now we gotta get these.
You spiders. Gotta keep going with the joke. The guy had to go grab his TV.
I get it.
You have to finish the joke.
Right.
I'll put it on layaway for you. Just go. It's fine.
Oh God. Well, that's it, guys. That is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Ta-da.
Turtles in Time? Question mark.
Sure. Yeah. Parentheses, Turtles in Time.
On the poster, it says the turtles are back in time.
Yeah. I'll take it.
All right. Well, now we're going to go around the room and talk about our final thoughts on this movie. So let's start with our guests. Charlie, start us off.
I don't know if you could tell in this episode how much I hate this movie.
It's venomous. I'm uncomfortable sitting here.
I've literally been sitting here going, damn, I know this movie pretty damn well. I was repeating a lot of lines. I love it, man. I watched it again today. I still have a ton of fun with it. I don't have any issues with it. I know some of it can be justifiable if you're that into it. When I was 13, I was not that concerned about there's no giant monsters. I don't like this anymore. No, I was like, I got to see my Ninja Turtles in a live action movie. I had fun with it. It made me laugh. It got me excited. And yeah, it's turtles, man. And until I got a lot older and they got watered down in some of the movies, this was still top tier for me and still is. So high marks from me.
Nice. Pete? Well, I spent a lot of money on Turtles in Time in the arcade. Like, that stupid video game emptied my pockets a number of times. I love Turtles. Love my Turtles. Bought the toys. Bought the comics. This one was, I came to this as an adult, and the first time it hit me, I didn't care for it. This time, I got a lot of time for it. I will make a lot of time for it in the future. I think this one's going to be on the, just put something dumb in and I don't got to, I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to put this in and I'm not going to think about it. And it's so much fun. Yes, I've come around. Turtles 3, well worth your time.
I think your audience needs to understand that Pete has been staunchly against Turtles 3. Anytime I bring it up,
I was.
Right? He's like, I'm not watching that piece of shit. I'm not going to do it. And we kept trying to come up with ways to make him do it. And it just so happened that Parker messaged me about doing, and he did give us the option. You want to do part two? You want to do part three? And I was like, we're doing part three. I don't give a shit what anyone else says on the show. We're doing part three. And
I take it all back. I take it all back, man.
I think it's the biggest turn
ever seen. It's not good.
No.
Highly entertaining. And yeah. What Charlie just said, it's turtles, baby. Give me more turtles. I want more turtles. I don't want Michael Bay turtles. I just want turtles.
There you go.
Angela, hit us with your thoughts.
No, you first.
Oh, she
you
has
a little. Oh, okay.
She's going to break my heart, guys.
All right, man. Okay. Bring some positivity.
I have to be the disappointment.
Oh, you're right. Angela, you like what you like. Don't worry about it.
That's true. I think similar-ish to what Pete said. I think this movie is better than I remember it. Mm. But again, as I started with, I'm not the biggest Turtles fan, so I don't have a lot of that nostalgia. Like I said, I did watch it, but you, not like
you're slightly out of that age bracket.
Well, it's like one of those things like you just kind of watched and you liked, but it didn't like really grab you. You know, there's a lot of shows I remember watching as a kid. I was like, oh, I liked that when I was a kid, but it was like, didn't really, you know, that. And I think there's the writing in the movie is not my favorite. Like a lot of the writing didn't land for me. Even the jokes, like they weren't there for me. The only thing I think I genuinely got a chuckle out of me was at the very end when all the honor guard comes back and they just walk by like hockey, hockey, hockey. Like walking by, that was the one that got me. I was like, all right, good on you. But there is a coherent story. There is a point A to point B on this that we're trying to get to, which I will respect.
Beginning, middle, end.
It's yeah,
written well.
And the turtles are the turtles. So if you like the turtles, you get them. I liked Casey's character, even though he didn't do much. As Casey. Yeah. But I liked him in the movie as the babysitter role. And it was fine. It's okay. It's I don't know. Like the suits looked okay, except for like when you start doing too much of the animatronics, it's very jarring with the animatronics are not as smooth as they were in the last films. Yeah. And it is what it is. And there's a few scenes where they're like, especially one I can remember is when Ralph's like barking at people. And then when Leo's fighting the daimyo and like, I don't know how he was serious, like straight face when like he should try to do the angry face. Cause I almost laughed at him. I was like, holy shit. But like, it's just the animatronics I have my issue with. The suit itself were fine. They're okay. But it's okay. Like it's not for me, but I could see it's not as bad as I think most people make it out to be for sure.
Fair.
All right, Angela, bring it all down.
I'm going. Yes, I'm going to use my token phrase. It was a movie.
Fair.
I have two major qualms with this movie.
Bring it.
Walker was not a Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought when I heard his name. I was like, Texas Ranger? I think I said it out loud.
Nice.
And Yoshi didn't say Yoshi or go blim or lay an egg.
Yeah.
So two egg. So two legitimate reasons why you hated this movie.
Okay. I'll add to Angela's if I can. So Michelangelo, with all the years that he has eaten pizza in all of his life, can't make a good
pie. He sucks at making a pizza. He burned it.
Dude, you burned it. Like you made this. Like he's flipping crust on his hands. He's flipping crust around. That's the hardest thing to do is to make crust.
He's never cooked with a brick oven. That takes some talent.
No.
It takes some talent, man. You can burn it, but you gotta burn it a little. But you don't let it go all the way through. And he was Chicago style.
He burned it all.
Like,
the way.
Yeah, that was a deep dish. What was that?
That was deep.
He's from New York. What is he doing?
Chicago style.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked at that.
Flat, man.
Yeah. Well, his dough was flat.
His crust he was making was flat. The one that came out of the oven.
Yeah, that thing was a deep dish.
Yeah,
that was a hockey puck.
It was
a frisbee.
It wasn't a frisbee. It was a discus.
They threw it as a frisbee and then made a frisbee joke.
One thing to build on yours, and most people aren't going to get this reference, but the dude, the dude named Kenshin.
Oh, Roroni.
Yes. I'm a fan of the anime Roroni Kenshin. And I was like, this man is no Batosai the Manslayer. so he doesn't do shit in this movie.
You messaged me that. I don't know this. I don't know that anime.
It's called Roroni Kenshin. It's really good.
I don't remember that right now.
Yeah, I will try to remember anime. To message you.
Although his legs look great in that outfit April made him at the end.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go, Pete. Good job, buddy.
Legs.
The no pants rule still holds for the podcasting. All right, buddy.
Dude, your cucumber sticking out.
Whoa! People pay for that.
We're off YouTube.
That's on the Patreon page, right?
Oh, no, that's going on the main page. People are getting that
shoe
for free.
And the sock.
Is that going to be on the Mark Wahlberg? Not Mark Wahlberg. Sorry, hold on. Is that going to be on the Henry Cavill blowjob tier?
What tier is that?
I want
that. The $10. Is that the $10 tier?
I guess. God, who like are we afford. Talking to? I don't remember what episode that was. Henry, we brought up the Henry Cavill.
I think it was Tony from Back to Movies. We talked about Hellraiser.
Yeah. Henry Cavill blowjob tier. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I don't even know where I was.
Angela, what else you got to say about this
how
movie?
Do I follow Henry Cavill blowjob? I don't know how you follow that. I'm sure we're not the first person to ever say that either, so it's totally fine.
Watch the Guyver episode. It'll explain everything.
I'm not to the Guyver. I just finished Vampire. So I not right, to Angela, Guyver.
Go ahead.
I can't say this was the worst movie because I wasn't too into it. Like, I kind of lost interest like halfway through the movie. Like, yes, they have a story going on, but like, I felt like I didn't need to pay attention to it to know what was going on. Like, I could keep up with it.
Like, there was just a lot of like nonsense happening.
Well, as I'm like,
I mean, don't want this to sound mean when I say it, but this was made for kids, you know, so
it
kind of needed to where we can, okay, we got it. Turtles are back in time. Then they were fighting.
Yep.
I mean, that's about as deep as it ever really needed to get.
I mean, the fights were good. The costume design was good. I felt
the rest of the costumes around it. Yeah. It was really well done for the feudal Japan part. Yeah.
I was just kind of there.
That's okay. We don't hate you. Why is she so scared?
No, I just feel like a disappointment because you guys.
Because it's been a long time since Angela has had that opinion on a movie. I feel.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's all right.
Don't you like what you like?
Yeah. Will I watch it again? Probably not.
It's fair.
It's fair because this is the first time you've seen it. So I mean, I think it's totally fair. Like we get it. We understand some of like people just being like, nah. This is just another movie. What I don't like is the people that are just shitting on it to shit on it. And they're just not having fun with the movie, which is what you get a lot of online is just people just feel like they can beat, you know, punch down is what it is. And Turtles 3 has always been the punch down.
Anytime
until my
talk about a Resident Evil movie. Yeah. That's what I do.
Oh yeah.
Anytime. Yeah.
I mean, I laughed.
Those are bad.
I laughed at a lot of the stuff that was going on.
Yeah. And that's,
and this is a third movie. Who was really expecting greatness out of a third sequel? You know, that's why the jokes and the one-liners are like shotgunned out. It's just boom, see what hits. What something is going to make you chuckle eventually in this movie.
Yeah.
And it did its job.
You're up, Parker.
I'm up? All right.
Yep.
Like I said, I hadn't seen this movie since I was a kid. Like, this was the very first time. I had this Blu-ray for probably a decade now, and I just opened it a couple weeks ago when I needed to watch Turtles.
I got to ask, does your Blu-ray have any special features or commentary tracks?
These special ones that have, like, more than one movie usually don't.
Yeah, okay. So I got something from the library that had nothing on it.
Yeah.
And it's a Blu-ray. I'm like, you release a Blu-ray without something on it? Anyway, I'm sorry, Parker. Please continue.
So rewatching this was an experience because I was going into this movie expecting to not like it. Just to be like, oh, yep, everyone was right. This is a bad movie. This is the worst. And then I came out of it going, yeah, it has its problems. But the Turtles, it's more Ninja Turtles, and it was fun. Like, the voice acting was good, this costuming was good. It's not on par with the first two, but it still looks good. I like the whole, you know, time travel stuff with feudal Japan. That looked really good. I like the fact that when we're in feudal Japan, we're actually going places where anywhere in New York, it's just the sewer. Like, we couldn't get to New York City. We couldn't venture out there, so we're just in the lair, which looks vastly different from any of the layers we've seen in the prior movies. But this is just fun. It's a good time. It's as Pete said, this is the type of movie you can just throw on just to kind of have in the background when you're doing stuff around the house. And, you know, you look once in a while, but it's a good time. It's nothing to take too serious. And it's definitely not a story you're sitting down, like, investing yourself in, like, what is going to happen to the Turtles? They're going to be fine in the end, and everything's going to be A-okay, because that's just how these movies go. So, yeah, it's not the worst. I think people really need to rewatch this movie and reevaluate it as adults, because I feel they're taking it in as we did as children,
and it wasn't as good as the first two, so why would I ever watch it again? And that was kind of my thing.
There's some movies that you don't need to watch with a critical eye.
No.
Sometimes there's just movies you just need to watch and have fun with, you know, and that's what, I mean, this is what normally a third movie comes out automatically means it's not going to get the same budget. It's usually less budget, get it done faster, get it out quick. Let's milk this for all we can. And that's exactly what this is. Less money. Jim Henson's not involved, but what they gave us, even for what little they had, it was still on par for me.
Yeah.
You know, it still was a Ninja Turtle movie that I grew up watching, and hell, I hadn't watched it probably in about 5 years till now. I'm like with you guys, I think I'm just going to start throwing it on now because it's just a fun movie where you're going to be doing something and then go, oh, my favorite part's coming up. Yeah. One of your ancestors. And then go back to doing whatever I was doing earlier. You know, that's all I need, you know, hockey. Yes. Hockey. And back as we go.
Right. And to me, this is definitely, I think, the weakest of the three, but it's still a lot of fun. And that just means that I think this whole trilogy is just a solid trilogy overall. Like, it just, it's really, it's definitely ones you could just, you start from one and you go all the way to three and have a good time. Yeah, Angela's about to fall out of her chair. Are you all right over there?
Slipped.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my
foot slipped. I was about to be concerned for a second. I can't do anything about it, but I just didn't want to watch it happen as Dan.
You look away and this Angela disappears from the screen. Just look, least, she loves being a turtle.
At least gone. If she's okay, we still have it on camera so we can post it.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I have socks on and it slipped on the chair.
Okay. Well, now we're gonna go over to social media and see what you all had to say about TMNT 3. So at first, we're going to go over to Twitter/X. And our first comment is from @eyeballsoup, who said, I don't give a damn. This film is a lot of fun. I dedicate every Friday to it. That joke runs all the way back to when I would annoy my friend at work every Friday about this one, doing quotes from the film, and he'd just shake his head the whole time.
That's dedication, I feel that, man.
Eyeball
every
Soup
Friday. Wow.
You should follow at Eyeball Soup on Twitter because they are a fantastic artist and they draw some really, really cool stuff. So check them out.
I follow them. Nope,
good. Very good. Yep. Our next one is from @SWO Productions or Stew World Order, who said, woof, I have a whole episode in it or on it. He said in it, but I know what he meant. And it's rough. Arguably, I can't speak today, better than Secret of the Ooge, but that's no prize.
The Ooge?
Yes.
The Ooge. Secret of the Splooge, baby. Secret of the Splooge.
Cucumbers?
Oh.
Sorry, we're close to that 2-hour mark where my brain's starting to shut down. The next one is from @KevinRBracket, who said, I enjoy it. Feel like I might be the only one. I'd watch it over Secret of the Ooze. So we got two straight comments who said that they would rather watch this than Secret of the Ooze, which a lot of people have Secret of the Ooze as their number one of this series, which is crazy.
There's more monsters in it. That's for sure.
Our next one is from this guy named Darren, or @DW Lumber, Darren from Nostalgicast.
Let's hear the essay.
Back to Bluey. No, this one's a short one. It says, it's okay. Not quite the weird kowtow to parents. What the fuck is that word? Kowtow? I don't know.
He made an episode.
Yeah, uproar over the first movie's dark tone and violence approach of Secret of the Ooze, but at least this one tries to be respectable as a film. I said the word right the first time. Our next one is from @OldManBradPod, who said, I actually really enjoyed it. Honestly, I love those first three Turtle movies. Next one is from @RexWeed, who said, truly one of the worst sequels of all time. Made worse by the promotional materials, including the song Tarzan Boy by Baltimore.
Oh,
that's the person you need. That's the person you're going to be fighting, Charlie.
Fight.
So it's @RexWeed on Twitter, Charlie, just to let you know.
We fight. That's it.
Put that in the show notes. Go get him, Charlie.
Yep. Name it. Name the time and place. We fight. We'll my only stipulation is Tarzan Boy plays the entire time.
Our next one is from @SuperNerd525751, who said, it had potential, had an interesting plot, and I'd praise the actors for their performances, but in my opinion, it's one of those we do not speak of, that movies. All right.
It makes me wonder if people have actually seen bad sequels, Pete.
you know,
there's a lot of them out there, guys.
We've seen some bad sequels.
Yeah, after rewatching this one isn't one of those. At Cat Daddy VGC said, I've always loved it. It's a good movie, despite what the people whose parents never hugged them say. This is the person we agree with. There we
I
go.
Like oh this gosh. One.
Was it as good as the first? No, but it's a fun movie, and that's what matters. What a fucking comment that was.
That's Bravo, my corner man in the that's my corner man in the fight. Yeah. You're
Bravo,
my corner man.
Cat Daddy VGC.
Yep.
And then our last one is from at Yonoper, who says horrible.
Well, okay. Thanks for that in-depth review.
On to Instagram, where we have a comment from our missing member of the Give Me Back My Action / Horror Movies podcast. We have a comment from Nate, who says, saw this one in theaters as a very young kid. I also remember having one of the toys that came with the scepter. And Turtles in Time was one of my favorite SNES games growing up. So it was cool to see them time travel. Didn't really answer the question if he liked the movie, but thanks for the comment, Nate.
We know he likes the movie. He is an advocate for part three.
We miss you, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
And the game and the movie have nothing to do with each other.
No, they
the game,
no,
the game no. came out years before the film ever did. Yeah. So,
and then we have a couple over on Threads. First one is from Contrarian Prime, who said, never watched it because I felt it would be a disappointment after playing TMNT Turtles in Time. It's not the same, so just watch the movie. Yeah, just give it a chance. Give it a chance, guys.
It's not as many dinosaurs, but, you know.
Way not as many dinosaurs.
We also don't get a cowboy level. Very exactly. much
no dinosaurs yeah. or robots in this movie.
But we do talk about Clint Eastwood, so it's close.
Okay, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it was made by Konami, who made Sunset Riders, which is a really good side-scrolling shooter game.
There
with
you go.
Cowboys. So just going to make that reference.
Ba-doom.
And our very final comment is from the Rewatch Recap, who said, it's easily the weakest of the original trilogy, but still has the goofy charm of the cartoons in live action.
Oh, that's it, good.
I watch it just for nostalgia, really.
That's a great comment. It's goofy.
Mm-hmm. I think this one did draw a bit more from the cartoons than the other two did.
All the facial expressions and the way their faces looked in the entire film was clearly straight out of the cartoon.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that is it. Thank you to everybody who left a comment on our social media. You can follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, Threads. That's usually where I post our now watching segment on social media, where you guys get to comment on your thoughts on the movies we're going to be covering. I usually post them the day before we record, so make sure you follow us and hit that little bell so you know when we're leaving posts. So thank you very much for that. Now it is time for our guests to tell us where the hell we can find them and listen to their wonderful show. So Charlie, I know you're the guy to do this.
I don't know what Pete was so worried about. He's shaking his head no, like God no, like Nate's not here. It's fine.
Nate's bad at this.
Nate, we love you, but Nate, you are the worst at selling your own show.
The terriblest.
I'm not good at it either, but boy, listening to him try to sell your show on Spoils of War was like, did he even talk about your show?
I've thought about writing him a script, but I've also listened to him read. So I don't know.
Was he as good as my reading? I'm not good at reading either.
Nate's not good at talking either. So love you, Nate. All right, man.
Y'all haven't heard me yet.
We heard you tonight. You did fine.
No, by myself.
Oh. Well.
I don't do a very good job by myself.
That's okay.
No one does.
That's all right. Well, we are Give Me Back My Action and Horror Movies. We are a weekly podcast that covers action and horror movies every other week, mostly from the VHS era, but we do touch a little bit on more modern films just to see if they are giving us back our action and horror movies, and they are not so far. You can find us pretty much everywhere that you can find Dissect That Film. We are also on X. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We do have Facebook groups, each individual one. We have Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. We're on Threads. We're everywhere. We're reacting and responding to most everything. We share out Parker stuff. They share us out. So I'm sure you've heard of us at least once in passing.
Can't imagine.
Yeah. So that's us.
All right. That's you. So I guess I'm on the action and horror podcast also, but I do have another long running podcast called Good Beer Bad Movie Night. We watch movies and we tell you how many beers you need to drink before you enjoy them. So that's those can get very sloppy. We do them once a month because my co-hosts have children and careers that they don't want to interrupt, and it's great. We have a lot of time. We are on year 9, I think.
Eight or nine. Haven't gone back and looked yet.
But no. Like everybody else in this group has more episodes than we do.
Oh yeah, once a month.
We do it once a month. We don't want to do it any more than once a month. So it's a lot of fun. We've covered a lot of films, and if you want to just come on over and hear the insanity, it's fun.
Lots of drunk people. It's Good Beer Bad Movie Night. If you didn't catch him when he
said
it. Good
Beer Bad Movie Night.
Yes. Yep.
Did I not say that?
You did.
But
it's okay.
Again, like with Nate, sometimes you need to resell and make sure you get it over there. And remember, not every movie's bad and not every beer is good.
Oh, exactly. This last one we just did, there was a beer that wasn't good. It's okay.
There you go.
Yeah, all the links to both shows will be down in the description, so make sure to follow both shows. Listen to both shows because they are both fantastic. And yes. And make sure to go listen to my episode with them on, what do we talk about? Three Musketeers. 93. Yeah, yeah, they invited me on the child-friendly episode.
Kid-friendly.
I was like, have you heard my podcast? Okay.
Have you heard ours?
Have you listened to us?
No, that was a lot of fun.
The challenge was. Yeah. It was your fault because you were doing a lot of like Disney movies there for a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to get Parker in on this one.
We got it.
And we had a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
As you know, I already shared where you can find us. We're at Dissect That Film pretty much everywhere. We're on all the podcast apps. We are on YouTube at youtube.com/dissectthatfilm where you can see our faces. Say hello, everybody. Hello, YouTube. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's all free. Make sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast app because that's cool. I don't know if it helps, but it's cool to get those ratings. I know that these gentlemen are about to hit 40 reviews on Spotify right now.
We're 40. We're trying to get to 40 for no apparent reason.
I know the reason.
Yeah, you know.
We're trying to hit 30, so get them to 40 on Spotify. Get us to 30 on Spotify. Get us to 20 on Apple Podcasts. I don't know what you guys have, but get them to wherever they need to be. We'll go over there. If you listen to us on Apple or Spotify or Good Pods, make sure to leave that 5-star rating because it makes us feel good. Even if it doesn't really help in any way, it makes us feel good, and we really appreciate all the support. And also, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. For a single dollar, you can get episodes early. And you get access to participate in polls for movies that you would like to see us cover at some point. Or if the beginning of an episode, we get some spicy B-roll, we throw it up there for you. And then at the $5 tier, our Mark Wahlberg Book Club tier, you have access to our Patreon exclusive show called The Monster Zone, where Dan and Angela host a show about monsters, where we spin a wheel once a month and we... Yeah, talk about monster movies from all different eras, and it's a lot of fun. We've talked about, Dan, what movies have we talked about on the Monster Zone to kind of help sell the show?
Nature's Gravy.
What now?
Nature's Gravy. Food of the Gods.
Nature's Gravy. Food of the Gods, baby.
Food of the Gods.
We did Dimension fairly recently.
Dimension.
We did The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms.
Yes!
We did Tarantula. So we just have... Yeah, just a random slew of shit. It's wonderful.
Fun episodes over there. So join us if you can. But if you can't do that, we appreciate you anyways. And we appreciate all of our wonderful patrons right now. So thank you very much. I would name you, but the way that we record things, you know, who knows if people leave or join in that time frame. So thank you to everyone who is over there on patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. And now to talk about what we're doing next week,
we are going to have another guest. We are going to be another first-time guest, which is very exciting. We're going to have the wonderful Steve Coates from the Bucket of Chum podcast to talk about a movie that I don't feel a lot of people have seen, but it's celebrating its 25th anniversary. And you know how much I love talking about big-time anniversaries, right, Dan?
Yeah, right, yeah, fucking baby. Do.
We're going to be talking about 1999's Komodo.
Oh, that movie is ass, and I love it.
God, I have it on. I bought it on DVD, and I'm waiting for my VHS to come in the mail, baby. Bad. So it's so fun. But yeah, we have Steve Coates.
So fun. Agreed.
We have Steve Coates from the Bucket of Chum podcast joining us next week, and we could be more excited. It's probably not an episode a lot of people are going to watch or listen to because movie, no one has this. I swear no one has probably seen this movie, but it's going to be a
you
lot of
fun. You don't
need
to watch it to listen. It's, no, just listen totally to the podcast. Fine. Yeah.
We have a lot of movies to cover. It's like, just listen to the podcast. So you'll get enough out of that. But no, we're very excited to have Steve on the show. He runs a fantastic podcast over there, so it's going to be fun to have him hang out with us. So, yeah, that's about it for us. You guys have any lasting words you'd like to say before we get the hell out of here?
This was so much fun. Thanks.
Yes, thank you guys for being here. It is always an honor having you guys here. And we're going to get you back real, real soon.
We appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming. And that is Charlie and Pete from the Give Me Back My Action / Horror Movies podcast.
Yes.
This has been another episode of the Dissect That Film podcast. And we'll see you all again next time. Goodbye. Cowabunga!
I love being a turtle.
Ah, that's the way we should have ended it. They don't even say cowabunga in this one. Damn it.
Nope.
All right, everybody. See you later.
Just like Elvis in Blue Hawaii.